right, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's been a while.
Happy November.
Happy November. This is Nothing Lasts Forever.
Yep.
The podcast. Mm-hmm. Podcast, and it's about November rain.
November rain. And November only comes once a year.
It only comes once a year.
Yeah. You know, Robin, it rained on November 1st.
It did. Actually, I have a lot to say about
the rain.
What's
up with that?
Anyways, Robin, Tara,
TNR
talk GNR, yep. November rain. And you know what? I do have some thoughts about the November rain.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Or welcome back to us, to everyone.
Yeah, welcome back, Robin.
Yeah, it's been a while, but we're back. We got a lot to say and a lot to talk about. And the first thing I want to talk about is the November rain. So it rained the first day of November.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles.
Yep.
And you may remember 2021, no rain November.
I do remember.
Yeah. Do you remember?
No rain November. And then we got November rain, November rain.
Exactly.
On 1/11/122, I tried to make that a thing. I was like, oh, and it's 11/122. And, you know, the sequence. Yeah. It's some kind of like, you know, matrix
numerology.
Code. Numerology. That's what I'm looking for.
It's a binary code.
No, yeah, it's gender non-binary code.
Yep.
Robin is still recovering from the November rain sickness. Okay, go on.
Yeah, and then also, but the November rain was cursed me as much as I was like, oh my God, it's so cool. It's raining in November. Turned out to be a curse because first my office space flooded.
Yep.
That was fun.
You know, my work also flooded that day.
Yeah. So it was raining so hard that Los Angeles couldn't take it, that the roof caved in.
So Los Angeles is a city in a, you know, a giant city in a desert. My mom calls it a giant lonesome desert. And she's usually talking about my dating life when she makes those comments. And, you know, Rob and I met in Oregon, and Oregon is set up infrastructure wise to deal with rain. When it rains in California, our works flood, our ceilings cave in, and everyone drives their cars into things.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, there was nothing
like
this
handle it.
November rain that I was like, fucking, I did. I was like thinking in my head, I hate Oregon. When it was raining here in November, because I really hated the feeling of like being constantly damp.
Yes.
You know, and I was like changing my socks 5 times a day every time I go outside because I would get wet. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why. Then I also got pretty sick from the rain. And so the triple whammy, and it was the election.
Yeah.
And it's pouring rain on the election, which
kept Caruso voters in.
I guess it worked out fine. But anyways, I had a lot of panic attack about the rain that people weren't going to go vote. And some people voted, but anyways, fuck that rain.
I think that while it may have been a little bit of a disruption to our daily lives, we are in a mega drought. Yeah.
Yeah, now we can water our lawns again.
Who has a lawn?
I don't know.
Right,
but
my sister?
I keep telling people, it's not like an interesting fact, but they've been collecting statistics and snitching on your neighbor. Like rates are really high, right? Higher than they've ever been. So neighbor snitching on neighbors who are using too much water.
So I'm glad you brought that up because the listeners may not know, I've been in a feud with my neighbors for 5 years. Their names are Fernando and Lupe. They're 90 years old. And I hate to say that I despise these 90-year-old, you know, immigrants, but fuck that. Fuck Fernando and Lupe, but for many reasons, but Fernando waters the sidewalk.
I've seen him watering the sidewalk
single day. And I don't know if it's some kind of dementia or, I mean, like, I don't know, but the word drought means nothing to Fernando because it doesn't matter if it's 95 degrees outside. He is going to water the sidewalk in front of our fucking house every goddamn day. And I'm sick of it.
I mean,
and you know what? I will snitch on him next time I see it.
Have you... Maybe he needs a push broom. I mean, is he just trying to keep like the dust or...
Who the fuck knows?
The leaves?
That dude drinks Budweiser tall boys all day long. And then the other day I heard him tell a dog he loved it. A dog on the street. I love you, baby. Hello, baby. I love you. I can hear the shit. I'm trying to watch ER in my living room, and I'm listening to drunk ass Fernando telling some dog on the street that he loves it. Sick of it. Can't wait for him to die.
Anyways,
rain in
snitches
November.
Snitches get stitches, except
when it comes to water.
Water,
waste.
Yeah. People just really like to snitch on their neighbors for using water.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there like some kind of hotline?
I think it's like the police.
Let's go.
I guess you call the police.
Yeah, so call cops on him. Fuck a cab. I'm snitching on Fernando.
Yeah.
It's really Lupe I have the problem with, to be honest. She called me a pendeja the other day. Yeah, it's not good, guys. It's a real feud. Okay. So it rained in November. It was, you know, a moment for us. Robin got sick. I got really sick. My brother-in-law got sick. One of my bosses got hospitalized for being sick. Man, we are on a we are on a roll.
Apparently the pediatric beds are all full.
RSV.
Anyways, but yeah, so that's what's going on. It's beautiful today. We're back recording. And we haven't recorded in a while because, you know, that's just how it goes. That is our MO.
We're busy.
Yeah. But I decided, or at one point, it was like one day, I took out my notes app and I was like, I'm going to write down notes that I'm thinking about that we need to talk about on the podcast when we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really looked at this. I wrote these notes on October 8th at 9:55 a.m. So I'm going to go down the list of things I want to discuss with you. The first thing it says, 91 live at the Ritz.
Okay. The second live at the Ritz.
Mm-hmm. So this was like actually right when they started releasing the Guns N' Roses released their box set, which we're going to go in deeper. That's the second thing on my
list.
So
this was available on that first Guns N' Roses box set, 91 live at the Ritz. That big one that came out a few years ago. Is that what you're talking about?
No, that's, let's, 91 live at the Ritz is one of the live performances that are included on the current box.
Got
set.
You. All right.
Yeah. And I don't know. I thought that was great. It was like, there's a secret live at the
Live
Ritz.
At the Ritz 2.
They've been holding back Live at the Ritz 2.
What? You know what? What if they're holding back Saskatoon 2?
I mean, I'm sure they went back to Saskatoon.
I don't know if they did.
And then the next one says box set. We'll go over the box set deeper. But then this next one, I wrote down, Tara, it says Mike, Matt, Punk band. Do you remember that?
Mike. Oh, yep. Can I? Sure. I do remember Mike, Matt, Punk band. I don't remember how the conversation came up, but Robin has a theory that every punk band has a Mike or a Matt or both. And so far, I can think of two punk bands, Rancid and Section Hate, right now, Mikes and Matts.
Yeah.
And I don't know why those are the two, because those are the two punk bands that I have discussed today.
Yeah.
So
I think it'll hold. I think the theory holds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that was written in my notes.
Yep.
Ken
has not been disproven.
The other thing, I just wrote admin. That must have been.
And we're talking current punk bands, by the way, because this can't, you know, there were no Mike and Matts and like, you know, there's no Maddie Ramone. That's what I'm saying.
No Maddie Ramone. That's.
There's no Matt.
Maybe there should be.
Matt Baders. Mike. Mike Strummer. All right. This is sick.
Okay. This is how stupid. Anyways, that's the kind of things that we think are funny.
Yeah. Mike Baders.
For some reason, I wrote down Dangerous Minds 1 billion.
Okay. I know what that is as well. R.I.P. Well, Coolio.
Coolio died. Mm-hmm. Yes, R.I.P. Coolio. And that had us discussing Dangerous Minds and the song from it, Gangster's Paradise.
Great song.
Are they at 1 billion views?
Gangster's Paradise, at this point after Coolio dying, has to be. But there's a reason you brought that up. But I also remember when Coolio died, it took four of us a good hour to remember the name of the movie Dangerous Minds.
Yeah.
And is that right? The movie's not called Gangster's Paradise?
The movie is called Dangerous Minds. No one really knows what the movie's about. She's a teacher.
And she sits on a chair backwards.
Yeah, she's a hot teacher that goes into the inner city.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why I put 1B.
Oh, maybe that means something else.
It's got 300,000 views. That can't be right.
300,000? You're not looking at the official, Robin. You always do this.
Tommy Boy Records, which I think that's kind of the...
No, you got to go to Coolio Vivo.
I don't think... I think all of Vivo is Coolio lives under Tommy Boy Records.
Okay. There's no way Dangerous Minds, the song, has 300,000 views, Robin.
There's no song called Dangerous Minds.
Whatever. What, you know what I'm saying. Is that what this, that wait, is that what the movie is called? That doesn't sound right.
The movie's called Dangerous Minds.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. Just, you know.
But really,
the
Coolio,
white lady going into.
Coolio was very Coolio for many reasons, but the biggest reason would be that he had a Juggalo tattoo that was misspelled.
Yes. No.
Yes.
It is misspelled, but he purposely did that.
I think that that is not.
He's a G.
Robin. He misspelled it, not intentionally, and then made up a cover story. Is that not obvious to you?
I don't know. He's a Juggalo, but I
believe exactly. They're not the most literate people in the world.
I believe his Juggalo status.
What did it say? Juggalo.
It says one G instead of two.
But what does the tattoo say?
What does it say? Fuck.
It says it's Juggalo with one G. It says something sick. Like it's a sick tattoo.
Yeah, maybe I should get it.
Yeah, I do not recommend. Me and Brad were vehemently against that.
It says Juggalo cool.
So that is, maybe you should get that with one G.
It's pretty cool. And it's a hatchet man. I believe he has the hatchet man with the inscript. It says Juggalo cool, one G. Okay.
Right. Because he's a G. Yeah.
Because he's a G. Yeah.
Yeah, he sure. is a G. Therefore, his Juggalo has one G. I'm not following that logic entirely.
Oh, this is funny. This is on TMZ. Okay. Ironically, one G shy being cool. They say the Angsta's paradise rapper. Get it?
Yes, I do. The missing G's. That's sick.
So dumb.
Dangerous Minds.
But anyways, yeah, we were talking about that. And I also, yeah, so those are the other things. The other thing too I wrote down here is Little Stevie. We haven't recorded since we saw Little Stevie recently.
You're kidding.
I don't think so.
I think you're right. So we went and saw Little Stevie, Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses recently at the world famous Whiskey-A-Go-Go.
Yep. And I don't know if I've been there before.
I haven't since I saw Duran Duran there in 1999.
I may have gone there a long time ago. And you know what? That was a funny, we went real last minute.
Yes, we did. It was truly in like the,
like we're like
the 11th hour, as
yeah.
they say.
Mm-hmm. And boy, was it fun.
We had a blast.
And I thought the Whiskey Go-Go was a great venue. I would love to see.
Yeah. It's a pay to play, I think. It's not super
really?
Legit. So
I mean, I think like, what was that?
KMGK, Youngblood?
Youngblood. He played there recently.
Oh, I know. I was banging his sound guy at the time. Of course I remember that.
I think they get like, I don't think it's pay to play.
I mean, it isn't when you're Youngblood. It is when you're maybe Chris McAdoo's band.
Pretty sure that's a Viper Room.
Yeah. I think I'm thinking of the Viper Room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out. Shout out to our homie Chris McAdoo and Blackstone, his band.
But anyways, I think the Whiskey-A-Go-Go is a good, I highly enjoyed that venue. I don't think there was like a bad seat in the house.
We had so a fucking blast. And we've seen Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses before. We saw him at the Backyard Bash 2 years ago.
The Rainbow Bar and Grill Backyard Bash.
And, you know, we've seen Guns N' Roses. We've seen Gilby. We've seen, you know, the side players. Nobody rocks like that fucking fake Argentinian Axl Rose.
Yes. Ariel.
What a guy.
So, yeah.
That guy rocks.
Stevie. The best thing about seeing Little Stevie's band, which is called Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
That's the name of the band.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to Corey Feldman and his band.
Comma
and his band.
Yeah.
So, Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses, played the Whiskey-A-Go-Go, and the best thing about seeing him is like, yeah, they only play Appetite.
And Civil War.
Yeah, they play.
And You Could Be Mine.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep, that's it. And
that's really, you know.
Really all you need.
It's good. It worked.
Yeah.
It sounded fucking good.
It's super fun. And
they're tight. The singer, this Argentinian fake Axl Rose, tiny little man, it's got some pipes on him.
Yeah, I remember. I remember being there in the crowd and feeling like we were the only ones that were enjoying ourselves.
It felt that way. We kind of moved around a little bit. We kept going over like some kind of picket line, remember? And they kept telling us to move away.
We were in like the
walkway.
Yes, we were in the walkway.
Yes.
Real strict on it.
They were being a little strict. It wasn't very rock and roll.
It wasn't, yeah. But yeah, I remember thinking like, God, everyone's such a square right now. Yeah, like I so agree. Boring.
Yeah. But I had a blast. We went to the Rainbow afterwards.
Yes. And we took a picture with Ariel. That's right. We burned it into...
It wasn't a good photo.
It was a bad photo. And then there's a theory. Have we ever taken a good... Like, take a good photo at the Rainbow?
Well, we have recently debunked it.
Yeah.
With our recent mural.
Like, drinking then, so...
You know what? Did you just crack some kind of code where when we're drinking, we look like shit?
At the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. I ended up having a fucking night after you left, too, because I met up with that Brazilian guy I was seeing, and then the night didn't end well for us, and I went home at 6 a.m. and never talked to him again. So, that was a great night, y'all.
The thing about Ariel, Carmen, I think is his last name.
Uh-huh.
And he has another band. So, he has, like, a band... That's not with, so when he's not with Steven Adler touring
the world,
touring Morongo casinos across the country.
Yep.
He plays with this other band and I'm forgetting what it's called, but I followed them on Instagram and I'm pretty sure they are just a cover band in Orange County that plays mostly Guns N' Roses and then some other stuff.
That sounds great. Sounds
so fun. I really would like to see that. Yeah.
Okay. So let's follow up with that. I would love to see that.
And it's definitely like in Newport.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, this guy's life, you know?
Yeah, so we're going to get there, but Robin and I, you tell me it's in Orange County. You know, I'm in. Yeah. Robin and I recently went to Orange County. We'll get there in a minute. It's a fucking alternate universe down there.
Yeah. But yeah, let's talk about the box set.
Yeah.
We haven't even recorded since they announced the box set.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
It kind of happened fast. We have a little bit. But
no, I don't think so. Anyways.
Guns N' Roses released a Use Your Illusion Super Deluxe remastered box set that has all every song.
For Christmas.
For Crimbus. And every song says 2022 version. Then it has a shit ton of extras. Like Robin said, the fake Live at the Ritz. And
when they first announced it, it said something like 60 new unreleased songs.
Yeah.
You were like, what the fuck?
Three live versions of Paradise City. You know?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. 60. Let me like.
Yeah.
Let me find the description of it.
Yeah. We were like, I think it's at like 80 something. It was a very large number of not true.
And then the first thing that they released was Live, You Could Be Mine, and something else. So now it's on. Do you know how much?
How much is that thing on like Amazon?
Well, don't buy it from.
I'm not. I'm just saying it's a good gauge. I'm not going to fucking buy it, period. I can't afford it. I just bought that Carhartt fleece.
I was going to say, I don't really have any interest in it. So you can buy the Super Deluxe. They have two versions. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 Super Deluxe 12 LP and Blu-ray. But then they also have one, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 Super Deluxe 7 CDs in Blu-ray.
Uh-huh.
What would you do with 7 CDs?
What do you mean by Blu-ray? Why are you saying that?
That's what it says. That's how it describes it.
So does it include a bunch of videos?
The 7 CD one is $250, $260. Use Your Illusion Super Deluxe 7 CD and Blu-ray box showcasing both album covers in an anamorphic illusion.
I don't know. It sounds pretty sick. How much is that 12 vinyl thing?
97 total tracks, 60 unreleased audio and video tracks, 63, 100 page hardcover book.
Okay.
With unreleased photos, memorabilia, and archival documents. Okay. The remastered for the first time ever from high resolution.
And this is the CDs?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I know. Why would anyone? But let me... Use Your Illusion 1 features November Rain with a real 50-piece orchestra for the first time ever.
It sounds beautiful.
Newly recorded, conducted, and arranged by Grammy Award winner and Emmy Award nominated composer Christopher Leonards.
Okay. It sounds great.
From the video.
I doubt it.
And then they have a Live in New York and Live in Las Vegas album.
Yeah.
And a live... No, because that's what it is. It's when I wrote down Live at the Ritz, there's a concert film. There is a Live at the Ritz 91 concert.
So that's the Blu-ray.
Yes. It doesn't really explain anything more about the 12 LP one.
Okay, well, that's disappointing because I'd really like to know.
Oh, LP3 and 4, LP5 through 8.
No price?
Yeah, this one's $500.
Okay, it's a nice Christmas that's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big money grab.
I mean, honestly, if somebody gifted me that, I wouldn't be mad. Hint, hint.
I would.
What if we shared custody of it?
I would have no, I have no interest.
I have a little bit of an interest in it.
Yeah.
I had a tough year.
But you know, good for them for getting.
Should we start a GoFundMe, Get Terror, the Guns N' Roses 12 LP box 12 set? LPs.
Too bad you can't just like buy one LP at a time.
And just eventually complete the collection.
Add it up. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, good for them. They're really like keeping, they're milking the stream is like a weird
Fernando's
phrase.
Working hard.
They're
these
working
days.
Hard and they're staying relevant somewhat. Mm-hmm. And they're keeping us on our, they're keeping our pocketbooks open.
They're keeping our pocketbooks on their toes.
Yeah, really, really are. And I think that's good for them, I guess. I don't know why I feel bad for them or anything. Like
we don't I feel don't. Bad for them.
Yeah. They've no. still been, they've been on tour for like 2.5 years now.
And they're in Australia now.
I think they've just been on tour since the COVID ban lifted.
They've been on tour for a while. They had a break and they've been overseas for a couple months. Yeah.
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 And yeah. When will they stop until?
Well, Australia's the end. Oh, don't. Who's going to, okay. Who, what member of Guns N' Roses is going to die first?
Of the current, yeah. Of the touring lineup? I want to say Dizzy.
I was also going to say Dizzy. Here's why.
Okay. I have a reason why. He still parties.
He still parties.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same fucking thing. Dizzy's out there.
Dang.
Let's hope that isn't going to happen for a very long time. But yep, you heard it here first, folks. Dizzy Reed. Dead at 58 years old.
Today is, or was it yesterday, was Richard Fortus's birthday? Uh-huh.
Today. Something.
Yeah. Actually, I logged onto Twitter today and it said trending was Guns N. Just the beginning half of it for me.
Guns N' Fortus.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. Cool thing. So anyways, so you like the new November Rain.
I do like the November Rain. It's pretty much the old November Rain with a live orchestra. There's nothing not to like about it.
Yeah.
I listened to it on the way here. And then in the very last minute during arguably the best part, my fucking boss started texting me about kegs. And it's like, it's my day off, lady. I'm trying to listen to November Rain. So I kind of got distracted. I'm like driving and texting my boss, listening to November Rain. But yeah. I think it sounds great and I love it.
No, I miss it.
And I've listened to the whole User Illusion, the remastered User Illusions. I have not listened to much of the extras. I've kind of like, I've skipped around. I like the songs I really like. Like I listened to Alive Estranged from Las Vegas, 92 or something like that. But I've listened to the studio records and I quite enjoy them. There is just a little, they managed to overproduce one of the most overproduced rock and roll records of all time. How? Got to give them props. It sounds great. It's crisp.
Orchestra.
Yeah.
The other thing too, with these live, they have a bunch of covers, random covers that are all over these ones. And we haven't talked about those because remember we were trying to decipher. So they did that thing that they like released that you could see the track listing before you could download the whole 63 new songs.
Mm-hmm.
Voodoo Child. They do.
Wasn't there intro. A song that we thought could have been Danzig Mother and then it ended up being some other song?
Yeah.
we're like, has Guns N' Roses been holding out on a secret Danzig cover for 30 years?
I was only joking. And then there's Only Women Bleed.
Oof.
What is that? Alice Cooper song.
That could be added to the misogyny interlude.
Yeah, they do.
Only Women Bleed. You're crazy.
On Heaven's Door.
Cool.
Oh, and for in this live album, they have Shannon Hoon was on Don't Cry and You Ain't the First, which I love You Ain't the First.
Oh, yeah.
But then there was something else that I just saw here. They do Wild Horses. They do that now. Wild Horses is like Gilby. No, that's Gilby's song.
Keith Richards.
Well, Gilby in the whatever their live shows, when Gilby gets a solo, he He's doing Singing Wild Horses.
Okay.
Or he gets like a moment.
He's a huge Rolling Stones fan, that one.
They do the love theme from The Godfather.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, this is it. Hotel California.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, and then Mother, which is who not, did we decide what it was?
I don't remember. Was not Danzig.
It was like an instrumental slash.
Yes, solo. Right. Yeah. It was something.
Oh, was it maybe Aerosmith?
No.
Oh. Maybe we'll never know.
Yep.
But so maybe one day we'll see one in person. One of these box sets.
Yeah. I mean, we could go down to Amoeba right now and it's probably there. They probably haven't sold a single one.
Yeah. I'm interested in that Appetite for Destruction box set because apparently has like drawers that you can pull out.
It's like I've seen that in person once at Amoeba.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
A little case that you can keep. Mm-hmm. Keep little knickknacks in.
Yeah, just, oh, okay. Okay.
Keep your Guns N' Roses.
Knickknacks.
Knickknacks in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because of the box set releasing, they've been doing a lot of promo, and we went and saw the mural.
There. So they did I'm going to use this word loosely, an installation at the world famous Rainbow Bar and Grill. And so when you walk into the Rainbow, it's this large outside section to the right. And then to the left, you go into the Lemmy's Lounge and then into the restaurant. But the outside section shares a wall, outside wall with the Roxy that is always a bunch of billboards that are like low, like face level, but large. And they have been Slash for a while, but they switched them. There's three.
You Slash got and Miles Kennedy.
Slash and Miles Kennedy. Slash and the Conspirators, whatever the fuck it is. So you got User Illusion 1, User Illusion 2, and then you got the installation.
The what do they call it? Anamorphic Illusion?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Took them 30 years to figure out how to combine the two covers.
And they did it. They did it.
Looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely. And so we went and saw it. We ate some vegan nachos. We took some pics. The lighting was great.
Yeah, thank God no one was there. We had this like beautiful moment mm-hmm. where no one is at the Rainbow, so we could look very
The manager
dumb.
Of the Rainbow gave me his number. We decided we're going there for Thanksgiving. We tried to make a reservation for Thanksgiving and it was booked, so we have to plan something else now. And it was we had a really nice time, early dinner, and then
wait, didn't he say that with the billboards? We asked how long it's gonna be up and he said December 4th, but he said, but actually they'd kind of stay up until someone buys another one.
That's why the Slash one was up for 8 months.
You can kind of like squat into these billboards. So like Slash, they didn't take it down because no one else wanted to put billboards up there.
Which is $8,000.
Like a month.
A month.
We think.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I think he was like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so that could be yours for a easy, I don't know, $30,000 for the whole inside parking lot or
no, 8,000 total for the whole wall, not each.
So. Really?
Yes, Robin. Okay. It's 8,000 total and you get all of them. Yes, absolutely.
That's a deal.
I told you.
Then that is a steal.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people bought Slash and Miles Kennedy tickets to see a show, or does he have an album?
He played recently, remember? And I said, let's go. And you said, no.
Oh, yeah. There's no way I was going to go to that.
Yeah, I mean, but whatever.
But what was that billboard for?
A new album.
Oh, an album.
Yeah, that we didn't listen to.
Yeah, so do you think I wonder what their return on investment was for that billboard.
I'm sure there was one. There was not one.
Yeah, that's the thing about billboards.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know. You don't get any metrics.
Mm-mm.
But the thing, too, that I wanted to talk about with this is, so November Rain, We're getting close to 2B. Do you know where it's at right now?
No, let's hear it.
1,962,333,972 views. So it's about a little less than 40 million. It's like 37 million views away from hitting 2B.
Okay,
which 37 million, I think it gets like, I need to do the math. I think it gets like a couple 100,000 views a day.
Wild.
So still like a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a little bit of time to climb up to 2B. But you know what? There's a second November Rain video now.
Really?
They added, there's a 2022 November Rain video. So they did a remastered. They put the video up with the remastered sound.
So it's the same video, but with the orchestra?
Yes.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, which is...
I'm not surprised. That makes sense. Just plug it in.
But kind of sucks.
I don't love that.
I know, right? Mm-mm. I don't love it either. 2022, it was uploaded 13 days ago. Guess how many views that has?
Oh, I have no... Yeah, it's interesting.
7.9 million views.
Wow, it's cutting into the other one. Sorry. It's cutting in.
Yeah, so that... What does that mean now?
It's going to slow it down. It's
going to slow it down. Isn't that fascinating?
Incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole new comment section to check in on.
Let's hear it. I love to hear this.
13 days ago. It's really incredible how after so much time, it is still a classic and is liked by so many generations. Simply a masterpiece. The sound of this version is amazing. 119 people applied to that. And they... Classic. Never gets old. I love this song.
Me too.
Honestly couldn't tell the difference. And we have things in Portuguese.
Portuguese, yeah. From Slavic languages.
Wow, really? So it seems like really the Brazilian people are keeping those views up.
Yep.
And this is such a masterpiece, evergreen song by a legendary band. Love you guys. Rock and roll forever. Hell I like yeah. that. Someone in the comments saying love you guys to the band.
Or maybe to the fans, the Gunners?
Yeah, really, all these comments are in Portuguese. I've only found three.
That's not surprising.
Here's one. It says, one of the best time songs ever written.
That's for damn sure.
I can truly say with a passion, there will never be a band better than Guns N' Roses. Period. Never. 30 years of November Rain, and I'm still a fan. I was still a teenager when this song hit the airwaves. A bit chaotic for me, this 2022 mix, but what the heck? It's GNR.
Yeah,
that
buddy.
Guy, I love that guy.
Yeah, get him on the pod. What the heck?
Yesterday, I got like a...
She's had this lingering cough for a couple weeks.
I'm so sorry. We had this all. Yesterday, I got like a bump of followers. A small bump of followers that were Brazilian, I think.
Yeah. It happens.
They're finding us. Mm-hmm. Closing in on us.
Yeesh.
So yeah, I don't like that though. Second November Rain.
I don't like it either.
Really? The whole podcast is built on this YouTube video.
One specific YouTube video. Yeah, coming for us. Fernando's coming for us.
The ground has shifted beneath us. Uh-huh. It's really, makes you think. So anyways, that is what's going on with November Rain.
Yeah.
And... Something happened the other day. And
after the rainbow.
After the rainbow. So this was something that I had been, I knew it was coming, that Corey Feldman was on tour. I knew that because I had seen some people posting clips. Corey Feldman. Who, have we talked about Corey Feldman on this podcast?
I think we talk about him personally.
I think because he has a little bit of overlap and... I mean,
I remember us having a pretty deep discussion about him a couple years ago because of the Mandela effect with the spelling of his name.
I still think that's
Corey and Corey. We thought it was without E and with E.
I thought,
and I thought that for 38 fucking years.
I thought Corey Haim's name was spelled with an E, which is, that's like pretty rare.
And Corey Feldman was no E.
That's like a positive.
I'm still shocked it isn't. Both Coreys are C-O-R-E-Y. Are you saying Corey Feldman changed the spelling of his name?
To be like...
More like Corey Feldman or Corey Haim? It's confusing.
They had like a whole thing, the two Coreys. So someone had to adjust. Because that was like...
All I'm saying is this is a very specific Mandela effect to us, but it is very real. I can visualize C-O-R-Y Feldman in my head.
Coming down the Goonies credits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scrolling down.
And like, so anyways, I loved Corey Feldman growing up, I guess.
Yeah.
I love Goonies and I watched it the other day. Great flick.
Uh-huh.
I watched it in anticipation of going to a show. And that voice, man, he was just a cool kid.
Yeah.
And Lost Boys is incredible movie. Yeah.
Frog Brother.
And but anyways, he since in the past, most recent years, he's done a lot.
Yeah, he works. He's a working man.
He works a lot, and then a lot of shit with the Corey Haim, and then there's a lot of stuff that he's been doing over the past few years. But he started a band. He got into his musical, which actually, I didn't realize that he had come out with so much music in the 90s.
Yeah, he's actually been playing music for 30 years.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Mm-mm. Missed it.
We found that out recently.
Yeah, I missed that. Yeah. So anyways, I saw that Corey Feldman was coming on tour.
You could take full credit for this one.
And because me and Brad were looking at, Brad's really interested in Corey Feldman and the Angel Band or whatever.
Yeah. As well, he should be. Shirt right now. Yep, yep. Great shirt.
Because he said one of the Angels auditioned for his band, and he said he almost hired her specifically because he wanted to talk about the Angel.
I don't blame him. I wish he did. It would have been good for all of us.
It would have been good for all of us.
Yeah.
Need to talk about this Angel stuff.
I know. I'm looking forward to Brad's return from tour because I have a lot to talk about with Brad in general.
Yeah, just in general. Yeah. He's in Belfast right
Very
now.
Very cool, Brad.
Yeah. But we saw that he was on tour and I was like, oh man, sucks because Brad's out of town. Who am I going to see Corey Feldman band with? I'm like, damn, I'm going to miss it. You know, sucks because I wouldn't be able to convince anyone to go with me.
Well, you did.
I kind of forgot about it. And then our internet boyfriends.
Ah, here we go. Okay.
They went to the show in Seattle.
Yep.
So we see the Bucket Boys. Spencer's posting videos from the Seattle show. And dude, it looked fucking amazing.
It came highly recommended from the Bucket Boys.
It came highly recommended. And yeah, Spencer was like, you gotta go. Mm-hmm. You gotta find someone to go. You gotta go. They went on like a Friday. He was playing, Corey was playing on a Sunday here in Southern California in the Los Angeles area. And
Broad.
Tara was busy.
I was busy that night. I was sad. I was like, I can't go.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
And I was kind of scheming ways to get down there by myself. I would have absolutely gone to that by myself.
Yeah, she was ready to.
I was ready to go to, I just don't have like a necessarily reliable car.
I told
you
could take my car.
Yeah, so I was going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was ready to do that. So we're ready. But then, you know, kept talking about it. And I don't know, you just made the decision that you had to go.
So I canceled my plans and I went.
Yeah. Yeah. And we went to Anaheim to see Corey Feldman, and his band.
We did. And it was at the House of Blues Anaheim, which is in the Anaheim Garden Walk, which I thought
was downtown Disney.
It is. I wish it was, but it was so
almost weirder. It's
not almost weirder. It's the Gateway Mall. There were five boba places out of 20 storefronts. Five of them were boba places.
It's like knockoff Disney. Remember that knockoff Disney store
we went into?
Yeah, it was very weird. It's almost like trying to trick some of the tourists into thinking that it was Disney affiliated, but it wasn't.
Uh-huh.
Because I swear to God, the House of Blues Anaheim used to be in downtown Disney.
I never really considered it, but it would make sense for it to be. That would make sense. So the House of Blues Anaheim is, you know what, it may have moved because that did appear to be new.
Yeah.
So the House of Blues Anaheim, fake downtown Disney.
Have you ever been to a House of Blues?
Not that I can remember.
Yeah. They all look kind of like the same. Well, they're like, you know, these fake like New Orleans.
Right. We go and, you know, we know it's going to be something. It's going to be entertaining because of, you know, what the content, what it is. Corey Feldman. We know his wife, Courtney's there as, you know, a former Angel, current Mangel.
She's the Mangel.
Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time because I have to go to work. But I mean, my takeaway from it, and we'll go more into it, but my takeaway was there, as much as me and Robin can sit here and describe it to you, listener, or to our friends or coworkers and whatever we've done, there's no words to describe. There's no way you could understand just how fucking weird this night was.
Not really.
And it wasn't just Corey, his performance itself, which was bizarre. our experience there, the people that were there to see him, it was unparalleled. It was, I can't remember in my memory, and I've had a lot of experiences, a weirder time that I've had. It was, I was rendered speechless many times. I mean, like gaping mouth open. It was a true, if Corey Feldman ever comes to your town,
really, it's,
you got to go.
You have to go.
It was a train wreck.
It was
watching a car accident.
The tickets were $20.
Yeah.
The tickets were $20. But then for $140, you could pay extra to do a meet and greet with Corey.
Right.
But that also included a piece of merch that he signed. It seemed like a goodish deal.
That didn't end up happening, by the way. We didn't get any free merch.
We'll get there.
So there's an opening band. They're called Fire in the Ashtray.
You remember that? Wow.
Because they were chanting it. You don't remember the chant?
No.
You missed it. So they tried to start a chant before they went on stage. Fire in the Ashtray. Fire in the Ashtray.
Oh, okay.
Fire in the Ashtray. So it was like a dad rock band.
Yeah.
With a Don Henley, you know, singing drummer.
Would smash that drummer.
Would smash.
Yeah. They were like cool dads, but playing stupid
music.
Yeah,
just a bunch of someone's dad.
Yeah, a bunch of dads. Some people's dads.
I mean, it was literally like a pub band.
Yeah.
They would be in like Milwaukee.
I think Corey has different local openers.
I do too.
For each. Well, yeah, I mean,
you know,
I guess no one's
I've never seen more fedoras in one room in my life than I did that night at Corey Feldman.
Was he ever wearing a fedora?
Corey never wore a fedora, but one of the keyboard player for Fire in the Ashtray was wearing a fedora.
Yeah, that's
the pimp
true.
Was wearing a fedora, and that weird kid with one glove was wearing a fedora.
Why? Wait.
Remember the kid with one glove?
Yeah, because he was a fan of. So yeah. Okay.
So is there a fedora Corey Feldman connection that I don't know?
Well,
about?
I mean, I think so.
Okay.
Isn't there like a Michael Jackson dance thing?
Okay.
Doesn't Michael Jackson have a fedora?
Maybe.
You like dance? So. There's a lot of stuff. I don't even know where to start. We're like, okay, so when you come in and the crowd is like a really weird mix of things. What was really funny is when we first walked up to House of Blues, there was like this huge line coming out of House of Blues. And we're like, this isn't
right.
And
they seem like kind of cool, interesting
people.
We're
like, this is like really weird.
Comparatively
this
speaking.
Line, and it was kind of like, this crowd isn't right.
And we're like, fuck, we're like this line's so long. Like, who knew?
Yeah, and it turns out Tegan and Sarah were playing in the main room in the giant. And there's a side room.
And I'm like, I didn't know so many lesbians were Corey Feldman fans. I keep calling him Corey Haim. So yeah, so it turns out lesbians are not Corey Feldman fans. They are absolutely Tegan and Sarah fans. Corey was in the smaller room, the Parrish room.
Yeah, and it was this weird combination of like people that were Corey fans and like were a little bit older than us. And then
People there for the spectacle.
Also people, yeah. And then there were also people that were just like, that guy, he was just like, I needed something to do. This looked like a fun thing to do.
He was not wrong.
Yeah.
With my boys.
With his boys, just Anaheim people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's weird. You go 35 miles outside of Hollywood and it is like you are on another fucking planet. And I don't think that speaks about Orange County as much as it speaks about the world we live in. Like
yeah.
We are the ones that live in like that is the real America. This with the fuck are this is not reality.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that guy, what did that guy say to you? This guy was enjoying himself. So we got pretty close up.
We got
to the
pretty
front.
Close and there were these three dudes that were there together.
Kulo
and the boys. So Kulo and the boys are there. It's these three, you know, Latino men in their 30s, you know, nice fucking guys. And one guy is particularly excited.
Yeah.
And he turns around and he kind of shows me his sweater and he says, are you a fan of Buddy? And I look at his sweater and he's wearing a Buddy the Elf sweater.
We're in a Will Ferrell elf sweater.
Yep. Christmas sweater. And I say, you know what? Who isn't a fan of Buddy? And so we love Buddy. Robin's like, yeah, we love Buddy. And he tells us a story about how he just saw Elf for the first time last year. Yeah. And it's his favorite movie now.
Yeah.
That was how this, and that's the beginning of our night. That
so
was like
November,
before, that was like between Fire in the Ashtray and Corey Feldman.
November 14th
up.
Hits. He's putting on the Buddy the Elf sweater.
Christmas sweater.
And hitting the town.
Yeah.
And then he got a little too hot and he took off the sweater. He was wearing a Hogwarts University shirt.
Yep. Yep. That guy was, he was just the nicest guys. He was from Austin, Texas, came to Rancho Cucamonga to visit the homies, and they wanted something for their boys' night out, and he chose Corey Feldman.
And he stayed till the end. So oh, yeah. This show was pretty long, and it started really thinning out. It wasn't full ever, that room, but it was pretty full in the beginning.
Oh.
By the time that he was done, it really thinned out, and he could tell because he actually ended. He told us he cut 7 songs.
He did tell us that personally, because we told him that our friend saw him in Seattle a couple days early, played for 2.5 hours, and Corey said he had time restrictions at House of Blues, cut 7 songs.
He saw people were falling asleep or like getting tired.
Do you think that's why?
He said that, yeah.
So he stopped playing?
Because it was Sunday night.
So it was a courtesy.
Yes. Well, he realized that like, it was emptying out.
Oh my God. So I didn't realize that's what he meant.
And, but 7 songs, dude, that's like
an hour.
90 minutes.
Oh my God.
Like how long is 7 songs is a long
time. He played for two straight hours.
2 hours. And so it would have been another like hour and a half.
Oh my God.
Here's one thing too. So when it started to, oh, he does this like really long trailer just about everything.
Before he comes out on stage, there's a video that plays after the Apple background thing gets fixed and goes away. They play a trailer
for Corey
about his career.
Yeah, including his like going viral for being bad.
Yeah.
For being
on the Today Show.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I was surprised he kept that in.
He seems to have
leans into it.
So like a couple of big takeaways is one, he's clearly wanted to be a rock star. That's what he wanted to be. He did not want to be an actor. I think that his goal was always to be this like huge star, like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And he, when he gets up on stage, he loves it. He means it, and he gives it his everything. Even when it was thinning out, he gave it his all. This guy's got stamina. Two, he seemed to be kind of, I don't want to say humble, and or necessarily even have a sense of humor about it, but like he kind of,
yeah, he's kind of in on the joke,
but not. But he also takes it really seriously.
Yeah. So he's also not a terrible. I mean, he's a good performer.
Yes, he is, and he's not a bad singer.
He's not a bad singer. He's not a bad dancer. He's better than I am.
He's not a great guitar player. He played a few chords.
There was one point in the whole show. He does a lot of stuff. There was one point in the whole show where he got behind the drum kit. And him, he was on drums, and I think there was a bassist and the guitar player, and they did
Stand.
Why Don't We Do It in the Road.
That's right.
And I was like, this is absolutely unlistenable.
It was.
That was the worst thing I've ever heard, probably.
It was very bad.
You know, only just that part. The rest was like decent, I think.
Yeah. So what, just because we have time.
Lost Boy songs fucking rocks.
So yeah, that's what I was going to say. So we have time restrictions here. So what his set was it was a combination of originals from his whole career, excluding Go For It, which was, you know, arguably his biggest song. And then he would do songs from movies he was in. Yep. So the biggest two songs he did were Stand By Me. Is that what that song's called?
I mean, Stand By Me, yeah.
Okay.
He didn't
but
sing
But he
that.
Doesn't sing it. He gets the black drummer to come sing
that
it.
That guy was good.
That guy was a prop.
Each member of the band or that was on stage, they all got a song.
Yes, they did. He really seemed to respect his band as well and give them the cred. So
well,
so
he's
he does,
in the back changing
he does,
jackets.
He does Stand By Me, but the black dude sang it. They did Goonies Are Good Enough, but the wife sang it. Mm-hmm. And then we got Cry Little Sister.
Yeah.
Which was the hit of the night. I think a lot of people were there for that. I was. He killed it.
Really did.
Killed it. And then he did like some deep cut from Meatballs 4, you know, and a couple other songs
so,
that I didn't
and we
recognize.
Were, he's local to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And we were lucky because there was a special guest and it was his frog brother.
The frog brother.
Jameson, I think is his first name. Mm-hmm. So the frog brother, his brother.
In Lost Boys. That's right. They
was
came
there,
on stage.
And they came on stage and did a song from Lost Boys, which is
People Are Strange.
People Are Strange, which he does normally in his sets, but in the encore, but this was in the middle. But you know what? It was so wild because if you saw Jameson, like.
No, I never would recognize him in a million years.
I mean, I don't really. Yeah, I mean.
But he was 12 years old when we saw him in the movie.
Corey Feldman is like stuck in time.
Yes, he is.
He looks exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he does. Like, did he.
Well, I have some theories on how he does it, but.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't even his if he has plastic surgery, I think, but it's yes. not even really that.
He wears a lot of makeup.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, because we got pretty close up. You can see a lot of cake makeup on him. So
51.
Yeah, and you know, all that said, the guy has been through a lot. I think that there's still probably some kind of substance problems happening there based on our interaction with him. So we took a break. We kind of agreed that we were going to leave early because we were like, okay, we've seen Cry Little Sister. We've seen Goonies are good enough. We're in Orange County. You know, we're old and tired. Both have to work tomorrow. So we're go out to kind of like figure out what our next move is. Should we stay for one more song? Should we go? His bodyguard, Big Mike, mm-hmm. approaches us outside.
He approached us earlier, we were walking in.
Earlier in the night.
Said, I think all he did was hi, I'm Big Mike, the bodyguard.
Yes, he approached us earlier in the night, came up to us specifically, introduced himself as Corey's bodyguard. And we're like, okay, hey, he moves on. We go out halfway through the set. Big Mike approaches us again with two of those VIP passes that would have been $140 and says, don't tell anyone I gave these to you. So Rob and I are thinking, we fucking have to stay to the end now.
Yeah.
And God knows how long it's going to take, but we're committed to it.
You only get one chance to meet Corey. I mean, even when I was like, you got to go to the show, you're like, I don't know if he's going to live. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, that
he's
guy's
living
got not
a
much,
pretty like,
yeah, something's happening
chaotic
there.
Life. Like,
so
you know.
We go back in, we realize we're staying to the end, and these women, can I tell a story? Can I tell about Val and Jill?
So one of the things too with watching Mike, so he was like, don't tell anyone and da da da. But then like kind of watch and he was giving out those passes to a lot of people.
Yes, he was.
And then, he was married.
Yes, but I thought about it. I think that what happened was
I
think they didn't sell any and they didn't
so
want
too.
Corey to know.
I think that.
It was a protection needed, of Corey.
Absolutely. There's definitely a lot of people that are there to protect Corey.
Yes, so I think that they gave out the passes that weren't sold to people to make it look like people bought them. And his money guy would like, you know, cover that up. So we stay and these two women arrive. They look like, I mean, they're wearing barely any clothes. One of them is wearing a long floor length fur coat and six inch fucking heels, stilettos. And just the tiniest dress I've ever seen. You can see every inch of her body. These girls were not beauty queens. They were clearly in the industry. Our first inclination is that they're strippers.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we're, you know, we're fucking dumb bitches. So we're fucking laughing at him, right? But this other guy shows up in with a fedora, with a feather in his hat, a white sequined embroidered blazer, black slacks and wingtip shoes. Okay. And a goatee and and then like a mustache. He looks like a cartoon character. We start to see how they are, the three of them are interacting with each other, and it becomes very obvious they are not, they also could be strippers.
Yes.
But he was their, let's say, jefe? Boss?
He was their boss.
He was their pimp.
Yeah.
These women were hookers. And if I describe this to my sister, in those episodes of Law and Order from the 90s where someone dies and then like the detectives go interview a hooker like underneath a bridge in New York City, that's what these girls fucking look like. And it was fascinating to watch them. I couldn't believe I saw a pimp with a feather in his hat.
Unironically. Don't really understand like why someone does that or like wears those clothes. I don't know.
The clothes were so, the whole thing was so outlandish.
Like so on the nose.
It almost seemed fake, but it came full
fake.
Circle. It wasn't fake. So at one point the show wraps. Val and Jill get passes through the pimp who clearly knows Corey and Mike. And I got to give Val credit. She had our number because Val approached us after the show. She walks right up to me. She's like, I can see you're looking at me. I can see evil in your eyes. And we're like, I mean, she's fucking right. I do have evil eyes. I'm making fun of a hooker. It's not nice, but you know, like I said, I'm a dumb bitch.
There was a lot of weird things happening.
So there were a lot of weird things happening. It was a lot to process. I was overstimulated, but Val and Jill were really like the top of the... So she introduces herself to me as Val. She tells me I have beautiful eyes, but they're evil. Jill eventually saunters up. you know, these girls are fucking pilled out of their minds, and tries to shake Robin's hand, and Robin ignores her. And then she introduces herself to me as Val's girlfriend. And it was, these girls wanted to fucking kick our asses.
There was a weird thing happening at this whole show. So Corey Feldman and his band, was like five people.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of like groupies trying to get with all these random five people. And including Val and Jill.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, it was weird. Like I've definitely like, I've seen shitty bands and like definitely tried to get with like the shitty random person in the band.
But these
like,
are
Corey Feldman and his band?
His band was like, he found them on Craigslist.
Yeah.
So I hate to wrap this up right now, but I absolutely have to go.
Dang.
I am out of time. I might be late for a first day at a job.
He's out of time, folks.
So stay tuned. We have more stuff to talk about. More episodes are coming. Happy November, everybody.